Don't worry, nothing's not wrong. Hello, welcome to Geek Speak on KDNK, where support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected, 948-7992. And Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. My name is Steve Skinner. I'm here with Louis the Computer Guy.
Hey, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
Taking your calls at 970-963-2976. All kinds of amazing things going on in the tech world. And you can get tech support right here free on KDNK. 970-963-2976. If you got a tech question, comment, pontification, we'd love to hear from you. 963-2976. What's going on, gentlemen?
Have you heard that what the newest, biggest new consumer of seaweed in the world is?
Who it is?
It's some, yeah, who?
Probably some guy named Joe?
No.
Oh.
Joe Mama.
Yeah, Joe Mama.
They found that adding seaweed to cattle feed could reduce methane production by 70%.
Really?
Isn't that good news?
70%?
Isn't that, yeah. If we add dried seaweed to 2% of sheep and cattle feed, we could cut methane emissions by more than 70%, scientists have found.
Well, maybe we could do that instead of the hormone.
It's equivalent to taking India's CO2 emissions off the map.
Wow. I wonder if that works similarly in humans.
Well, have a sushi and a big bowl of baked beans. See what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that'd be a valid
test. Maybe put them all in the blender together.
No, you'd have to do an A-B test one morning or one day you eat the big bowl of beans plain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day you eat the big bowl of beans with 2% mm-hmm. seaweed.
Yep.
Yeah. So just
would you use like a canary to help?
I was thinking of something clothing related, but this is better.
I know canaries are very low tech, but
963-2976. Please give us a call.
Yes, please rescue us from ourselves here. Mm-hmm. So I guess net neutrality's back in the news.
Let's take this call before we talk about
that.
I'm
sure it's better than this.
Hi, you're on with the geeks. Gotta be.
Hi, geeks. It's Donna.
Donna Rue. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too. I didn't know if you guys were going to be on. I'm calling from Ireland.
I was
going to
say, is it Thanksgiving in Ireland yet?
Yeah, what day is it?
Are you guys on the other side of the dateline?
It's pretty much midnight here. 11:30. It's 11:30 at night.
Wow.
So, yeah, but I wanted to say, one, a shout-out to Tim Bratlin for thanking me. I want to thank him so much for giving me the international calling plan so I can call you guys. He's listening right now.
Okay. Hey, Tim.
And,
way to go.
Yeah.
Yes, and he was wondering about when the podcasts are going to be back up. Any idea?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Sweet.
I didn't know they weren't up there, so I'll have to take a look at that.
I think they stopped being posted with the advent of the new website.
Oh, but that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
The old ones might not be available, but the new ones are supposedly available. We're working on it.
So some people might not realize that you do have it all podcasted, so it's always a good reminder, you know, for people, if you missed the show, that you can go back and listen on a podcast.
So in this case, it's a good reminder, good way to remind them that they can't podcast it. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Louis being sarcastic. It's amazing how your connection is so good, considering you're in Ireland.
I know. Isn't it amazing? And, you know, Michael McGowan, who's is there probably too, there in Carbondale, but his dad was born here, of course. But the other thing I was going to tell you is that I got a new app called SkyMap. Did we ever talk about SkyMap?
No.
SkyMap was really cool because I wanted to know where the moon was, you know, where the moon was when it wasn't quite up yet. And SkyMap allows you, you know, it shows you where all the constellations are and the moon and everything. It's really a cool app. So it's my big app of the week.
Mm-hmm. Does it show you where the International Space Station is?
No, but there is an app for that.
Yeah?
That's a different app.
Okay.
Yes. There actually is an app for that, and that's what, you know, Mary and Billy use all the time.
Yeah. So I hear, what is it? How long does it take for it to cross the
Depends on where it is in the sky, but mm-hmm. it's like 30 seconds.
Oh, really?
It's very quick.
It's, Yeah.
Wow, it's like a shooting star.
It's pretty quick. It's pretty screen. It goes really fast.
It's the third brightest object in the sky.
Very
first
nice.
Is the sun.
Yes.
Second is the moon. And then, so you can really tell it's super bright. It's really neat.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. Yeah. And then
the Chinese have got a new space station up there. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
They've got a new independent space station that they built. And they've not been in the space program that long.
No, mm-hmm. Not very long at all.
So anyway, they're up there with their own rig.
Oh, well, they're probably spying on us.
Yeah. Well, how boring.
Rightly so, yeah. I might add.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So. The other app that I've been enjoying is Convert. You know, converting Celsius to Fahrenheit and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's been coming in.
Liters and gallons.
I thought you said converting selfies to Fahrenheit, and I'm like, that is a very impressive app. It's like,
speaking
how do you do
selfies,
that? Yeah.
Speaking of selfies, did you see my Facebook post, who I was hanging out with?
Yes, Lyle Lovett.
Wasn't that cool?
That was really cool. You guys make a nice couple.
You're so funny.
You know, Donna, yeah, I've got some advice for those of you that find yourselves in airports with famous people. What you do is you get your camera all ready, and then you go up to them, and you swing your arm around them and take a quick picture before they have a chance to run away from you.
Well, you would be really proud of me that, you know, I did ask.
Okay.
And, you know, but he asked me quite a few questions, and we chatted for a bit. So
really?
He said, yeah, that would be fine. Yes, he did. He asked me my name, where I'm going. Blah, blah, blah. It was very nice.
Huh? Maybe he was working for TSA at the same time. There's a guy that can't
go
undercover, man.
No, that's for sure, man. I feel kind of bad for those guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was by himself and very nice. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah. Was he on his way to a gig?
He was going home to Houston.
Oh, nice.
Normally I leave those guys alone. But since he was, you know, it was by himself and it was quiet, so it was fine. But anyway, I just wanted to call and say hello from Ireland, and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
So I wanted to say, Donna, you guys are a fetching couple. I'm looking at that picture. That is, yeah.
Oh,
we're going to start rumors.
You guys.
It started with me helping with his phone, and it worked out into something even bigger.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm going to listen to the rest of the show from my iPad here on my Wi-Fi, okay?
Right on. Thanks a lot for calling, Donna. Donna Dalton calling from Ireland right around midnight.
She's truly
20
our
minutes to midnight.
Foreign correspondent.
She
today.
Really is.
Yes.
And she's using the latest technology to call into the program at 970-963-2976. And on her way to Ireland, she ran into Lyle Lovett and got a really classic selfie. They look both very, very amused in
they
that
do.
Photograph.
Yeah. And, you know, I was going to say, if Donna Dalton can call in all the way from Ireland, then, you know, for those of you here in the contiguous 48, it shouldn't be any problem.
Yeah, 970-963-2976. Did you have something you were going to bring up, or are we going to talk about the silliest technology gifts?
Let's talk about the silliest technology gifts.
Okay.
How about the super silliest?
Okay.
I don't have anything.
Oh, okay. Me neither. So. I think, I don't know yet. You were talking about a toaster oven?
I found a $1,500 toaster oven.
Mm-hmm. What does it do besides toast? Because it's got to do something else. It's got a massage.
It looks like it bakes and... It has an app for your phone and is internet connected and everything else. So
I would think that it can only bake when it's in Colorado, though. Other, you know, there's some states where you can't do that, right?
And you know, there's
six or eight of them now.
You think about the toaster oven; it's something you may, okay. You can run it from your cell phone, but you kind of want to watch to make sure that your stuff is browned to perfection.
It has a lot of sensors.
It does, so you can say like golden brown. Put the toast in, and boom.
I don't know. Well, it has a 100-day free trial if you want to pony up $1,500.
You don't think maybe they should put a camera inside of it?
That's what I figured.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Do a differential between the...
Kind of like that refrigerator we were talking about that I saw at Lowe's. Because, you know, this refrigerator's got a big old touch screen in it. It's got Pandora built in. You can do, like, you can surf the web on your refrigerator.
Oh. That is so unsettling.
and you also can activate, you can put an app on your phone and it's got a camera inside of it. So if you're like going, I can't remember if I need cheese or not, and you just log onto your refrigerator and activate the camera and so hopefully be able to look into the cheese drawer.
Hopefully it's not obstructed by the wine bottles.
Yeah. So
all I want to know is, does it use the freezer as a bandpass box for the subwoofer?
That's a great question.
That's what I want to know. I mean, it's a nice square little box. You should be able to put like an 18 on the side and be about right.
And can you walk up and just say, open the freezer.
No.
Serve me some ice cream.
I don't think so. But, you know,
got a long way to go.
I know it's only around the corner that you can basically say, you know, how much beer do I have left? You know?
Yeah.
And the refrigerator will come back and say, don't you think you ought to think about cutting down? So, at least that's what my refrigerator would say.
Well, Thanksgiving is coming up. It's Thanksgiving week, and I just want to say I'm very thankful to you guys for this great show, and to all of our listeners out there and members and supporters of KDNK. And if you'd like to give us a call at 963-2976 and say what you're thankful for, it's not too late to share that with the world.
But make it like some technology you're thankful for.
I'm really thankful for my Samsung.
Yeah.
Not catching on fire.
Yeah. I'm really thankful for my iPod Touch that won't update past iOS 6.2.
So it's still fast?
Yeah, actually it is pretty fast. So I don't, you know, I just came up against something. Apple has a new anti-theft feature, which I've kind of wondered how long it would take them to get around to doing this. Have you come up against that on the new iOS devices?
No, I haven't.
If you try to do, because it used to be, if you... somebody gave you an old iOS device, that being an iPad or a phone or an iPod Touch, you could connect it to your computer and you basically turn it off, hold down the home button and plug the cable in that's plugged into the computer, and it'll put it into what they call restore mode, and it will completely factory restore it, including wiping out any iCloud associations, passwords, anything like that. So as you can imagine, for the typical iOS device thief, it was an absolute, you know, gift from heaven, because, you know, it's just that easy. You know, steal it, take it home, reprogram it, wipe it, sell it, you know. And I came across, I had a client, they all of a sudden their iPad popped up and wanted a password, and like they'd never set a password on it. They couldn't get any of their passwords to work. They said, just wipe it, you know, take it back. Well, I got done doing the whole process, and it comes up and it goes, sorry, man, you're not getting in here unless you know the password for the iCloud account. And then it has like a couple of letters and a bunch of stars. And it's like, you got to fill in the blanks and come up with a password. And there's no workaround. Well, there are some workarounds for it, but they're all illegal. So
so we can't talk about them on this program.
Yep. Exactly.
Wow. And then there's a new Mac laptop coming out. Is that the deal?
So the new, you're talking about the MacBook Pro, I assume.
Yep. Actually shopped with a couple of customers today.
How much for the new MacBook Pro?
Let's see. The MacBook Pro 15-inch is starting, I believe, at $2,399. Mm. So
they've always been expensive, and they're still expensive.
Apple's been successful at bringing the price for the MacBook Pro back up into the stratosphere.
I think mine was $3,000 years and years and years ago. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when they started like nibbling down around like the low 1200s and everything, then, you know, that alarm bells had to be going off at Apple. Just, you know, we got to do something about this. And one of the big things that people will notice about the new MacBook Pro is that they have one USB port, right, Matt?
Well, looks like there's two on the side. There are two USB-Cs.
Ah, okay. But it's a completely new technology. It's a new port.
It's not the same shape?
Well, you can plug it in either way, so you don't have USB superposition anymore.
Oh, okay, that's good.
So it's a direct. It's like Thunderbolt. It's bidirectional, so you can plug it in up top.
You're not going to break it by plugging in the wrong
way. There's two ways to plug it in, and either one of them are right.
Mm-hmm.
So my new keyboard will have USB-C.
But if you have any old legacy USB devices, flash drives, printers, whatever, you have to buy an additional adapter,
of course,
that goes on there.
Is it Apple making that?
And Apple makes it, and there are a number of third-party
are they expensive?
Models. $49 mm-hmm. seems to be the going rate.
Seems kind of pricey for a little USB adapter.
Yeah, so you can plug things into your computer.
Yeah.
So, It's and it also has a they've done away with the F keys, and they have a little touchpad where the F keys are now, which my understanding is I haven't gotten hands on with one yet, but my understanding is you can create custom buttons for activating features that you use frequently.
Like you just click on this to print something.
Well, it seems like you could do something where
you could program it.
Well, you could, yeah, program it to, like, you open up your browser and it brings up a set of browser specific hotkeys or something. Would be really nice to have that feature.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, Apple's on the cutting edge again. And there's, you know, speaking of expensive new toys that are, you know, technology based, there's a whole bunch of new headphones coming out, of course.
Yep.
Because the new iPhone has no headphone connector. Is there a headphone connector on the Pro Book or whatever?
MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro, thank you.
I don't believe there's... I didn't see one on there.
You said Probe Book. I'm like...
Nope.
I don't know.
Aliens,
I did not say that.
Yeah. So, so Bluetooth is basically where the, you know, where all the external speaker devices is headed at this point. And hopefully they've got that technology all worked out. And unless you have your devices paired with your car and your MacBook Pro, and then all of a sudden the Battle of the Titans breaks out, you know.
A friend of mine is doing, he gets like old radios, 60s, 50s, 40s radios, and he puts like a wireless speaker setup inside of them.
Uh-huh.
And so then you can have this groovy looking old radio, and then it uses the wireless speaker. Isn't that brilliant?
That's a great, great aftermarket. Or it is. Would that be an aftermarket?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
or post-secondary,
almost a repurposing.
Yes.
Yeah. Post-secondary repurposing. So, yeah.
Okay. Or as they say in the ocean, repurposing.
Oh. Okay, Flipper. So, gosh, there was something I was gonna.
So even more quantization on the hi-hat. Is what we're talking about,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, the hi-hat's going to sound more and more like, I don't know, what does it sound like, you know? It sounds like a sprinkler. Yeah. Yeah. Like one of those sprinklers that, So, yeah. And so what are some of the other toys that are coming out this, what's hot in the toy world this year?
I don't even know.
Although
there's a lot of 3D printer of items available, and there are some that are
Well, virtual reality obviously is coming really fast with gaming and other things.
Very exciting.
Yes, very exciting things. Yeah. Pretty soon there will be no need for physical contact between humans at all. That's the good news.
Yep. Well, you know, my observation is that, I think that a big part of the autopsy after this election cycle is going to really be about, I don't know if you guys heard the story about a town in Macedonia. Either you guys heard about this? There's like a little group of young adults who basically came up with the business plan to create a bunch of fake websites. And they're all had URLs using Donald Trump's name in them, and they just basically and then they sold advertising on these sites, and they literally became millionaires. And the sites are, there's absolutely nothing real on any of these sites. They're all fabricated stories, everything that's on there. And the amount of traffic that they received just through Google search results, so it really brings kind of to the forefront. I noticed John Oliver in his last show, a large portion of his segment was devoted to the fact-free landscape that we're dealing with, that the internet has allowed to grow. You know, it's basically allowed, you know, that...
Yeah, there's thousands of...
Makes it a lot easier to do research. Yeah.
We don't need no stinking facts, you know, so...
Still got time for your call at 970-963-2976.
Yep. So, yeah, there's a little group of young adults that are extremely happy right now about, this.
Yeah. Well, Google. It sounds like Google plans to remove that.
What? Fake news
in the news section from its desktop search following fake news criticism.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
Good.
So,
yeah,
it can be very difficult to find good information anymore.
Yep. And I think that probably the best way is to get in your car and go find out.
Probably.
You know?
Well, if that's a possibility.
So, it would certainly make life more interesting. So just head out to the East Coast and go, okay, what's going on out here? So, and let's see.
Did you see that Oracle buys Dyn DNS? That was in the news recently?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, so it looks like they're buying.
I'm going to say that after what happened just recently, they needed to be bought. So
now was the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see what Oracle does with them.
I had kind of a scary experience with this. So we've talked about, I know you're a big fan of OpenDNS, right?
Yes.
What's okay. DNS?
Domain name, service, or system, depending on the context in which you use it.
Okay. Go ahead.
And basically DNS is just a very rudimentary database type of setup where you've got a database that's got two columns. One column has a human-friendly name like google.com, and the other column has a corresponding number, which is four sets of numbers or four octets, as we call them, separated by periods. So, you know, it may say google.com, and it'll say 8.8.8.8, you know, in the second column. So every website that you go to, when you Google something or enter in a web address into a web browser, your computer basically goes out and goes to DNS and says, okay, this is where he wants to go. What's the number?
Where is it?
Yeah.
What's the
directory number?
What's the phone number for it? And that's basically how you get there. And so OpenDNS, I think I actually first learned about it from Matt. One of the ways you can use OpenDNS is you can get an OpenDNS account and tell all of your computers to go to this one particular set of servers to resolve names into numbers. And depending on the preferences you set for your account, you can say, I don't want you to resolve any addresses that have been flagged as adult content, for instance. So very helpful so they have, you know, in the schools, for
they
instance.
They have 30-something classifications based on, there's like a German list of types, and they use that as a starting point, and then they have some other ones from some other legislation, and you can go through and say, well, no social media sites, no parked domains, you know, and a whole bunch of other things. And they also use that information for anti-phishing and a few other functions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a filter for your DNS requests, essentially. So
sounds good.
So like if somebody sends you a link and says, hey, check out this document, and it's at whoknowswhat.com,
uh-huh,
happens to be, if it's a blacklisted domain,
it'll just come up and say, this
OpenDNS
is blocked.
It'll say, you ain't going there.
Oh, that sounds great.
You know,
so it's a preventative as well as a...
Is this a software thing?
Sort of.
Yeah.
It's a configuration on your computer.
Yeah, you basically tell your computer, whenever you need to resolve a name into a number, go to OpenDNS to do it. And so, you know, we can talk a little bit more about it next week, because there's some other functionalities that it has that are very handy, especially for parents that are trying to get a handle on the internet use in their homes.
Going to have to leave it right there.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Louis. You've been listening to Geek Speak here on KDNK, underwritten by Louis, the computer guy, and Umbrella Roofing. I'm Steve Skinner, wishing you a great Thanksgiving and a wonderful rest of your week, here with Louis Gerardo.
Thank you, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help
Desk.
Have
a great evening.
You guys, take care and enjoy.